States live. Expert money and real estate advice every Sunday. Elise Glink is on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Elise Glink Show. Live on Sundays, 12 to 2, here on News Talk WSB. Our number, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. So if you're not following me on Twitter, you're already missing half the conversation because I just tweeted out that I had an awesome time at my 30th high school reunion last night. It was just so great to see so many friends, old friends, in one place, and I felt like I was 20 again. It's like incredible. Just how you go back, and last night I was just telling Crystal Wheeler, our executive producer, that there it was, 1:15 in the morning, and I was like, yeah, let's go to another bar. Sure enough, they all close early. Who knew? Anyway, I encourage you all in this time of year of homecomings and reunions that if you've got one coming up, you should go and take a look. It's amazing. Everybody grew up so great and really just energizing. And it got me thinking about how you really have to have a vision for your life. There's this kind of roadmap that we build in our head, and I think it's formed by different things that happened to us along the way. For me, the roadmap began the morning that my father died, and I realized that there was just going to be a whole shift of life. But as I was at this reunion last night, talking to my classmates about their lives and what happened to them, you know, one said to me, he and his girlfriend, freshman in college, and, you know, she got pregnant, and it just totally shifted his life. He's like, I had to buy diapers. I was 21 years old, and I was buying diapers. He's like, it really shifted my life into overdrive, and he's wildly successful today. Another friend of mine said, you know, I kind of just didn't apply myself until I was 29. And then once I had that vision and I applied myself, you know, the sky opened up for him. And it was the same story over and over again. And I was thinking to myself this morning on my second cup of very strong tea that if you don't have a vision for your life, if you don't have this roadmap, if you don't have the impetus to create something out of nothing, which is what we all have, right? We have a lot of nothing hanging around. You have to be able to have a vision. And the vision can change, but if you don't at least create this image of something you're striving for, you're going to get stuck. And you're never going to get anywhere you'd really want to be. It's so interesting to me how people are able to take this blank sheet of paper called life and then just start to imagine things on them. And, you know, it's not that hard. And so I thought, well, let's think about home ownership and how it's happening for people or not happening for people, in this aftermath of the Great Recession, right? Studies are showing now, these new studies are coming out from the Realtors, National Association of Realtors, National Association of Home Builders, organizations that have a real, vested interest in home ownership, right? They want you to buy houses. If you don't buy houses, realtors aren't employed and builders aren't employed. So they want you to buy houses. But even there, studies are showing that young renters, and I mean anybody, the average age of buying your first house is around 32, so 30, 32. So young meaning 20-something. Even then, studies are showing that these younger renters kind of, sort of imagine themselves as homeowners someday, but there has been this shift from a concrete definition of home ownership in their heads, in their minds. This plan, this roadmap of how they're going to get there has shifted. People are not as committed to the whole idea of home ownership. And when you're not really committed and you don't have a path forward, it's not really having vision, right? It's not concrete. It doesn't have steps. It doesn't have takeaways. What it does is get you stuck. It gets you stuck in some sort of path, circular, right, that is easy and comfortable maybe, right? It's not that hard to keep signing a new lease every year or every 2 years, but maybe it doesn't get you out of that. Maybe some of this has to do with the fact that they don't have jobs they love and they don't see a vision for where their job is going to take them. But having that concrete image in your head of a goal you want to achieve, that's what you have to go for. Real estate investing, same thing, right? Nice idea. A lot of people, oh, someday I want to be a real estate investor. But where are your concrete steps? Have you found your dream team? Have you created that roadmap for success in your head? Have you mapped out anything? Have you done one thing that's going to get you to buy a $40,000 foreclosure? Talking about things is one thing. Doing them, taking those little steps, and I don't mean big leaps, right? You don't have to do the long jump here. Little tiny steps, one after another, over time, you're going to see how far you've gotten. And it's the same thing with saving money. People say to me, oh, I can only put away 12 cents. Fine, put away 12 cents. Every day, put away 12 cents. And then when that becomes too easy, put away 50 cents. And then a buck, and then $5. And pretty soon, you're putting away 5, 10 bucks a day, 50 bucks a week, $2,500 a year. And you're really getting somewhere. Year after year, $2,500 is going to go a long, long way towards getting you to retirement success, or whatever it is, buying a vacation home or investing in real estate. Getting to the vision is hard. So I have a little homework for you, right? This wasn't just going to be me talking about my reunion. Vision isn't something that comes to you. It's not something, maybe you wake up in the middle of the night and you've got the new roadmap for your life. But most people, that's just not how it works, right? We're busy all day, and yet we get little glimpses of what we want to do. We meet somebody, we hear a story, we see something on the internet, and we get a little bit of a vision. We start to develop this idea. And so I want you to take out a piece of paper and a pen. Because, again, the piece of paper is like your life, right? No matter how old you are, 25, 45, 65. The rest of your life is a blank slate. It's unwritten, right? It's unwritten. It's unwritten until you define what that's going to be. And so I want you to take this piece of paper and a pen and just imagine anything. Dream big. Dream big. Because once you start to dream, then you really understand where you're going to go. And you understand how it's even possible to get there. Or you can just reverse engineer it, right? So if I'm having in my head this idea that I'm going to dream big about investing in real estate, and I say to myself, and I, on my piece of paper, I start drawing pictures of houses that I'm going to rent out, or a building where I'm going to get a condo because, you know, all the condos in Midtown are still, you know, half off, 60, 70% off. I'm going to buy one of those, let's say. I'm going to buy 10 of those. I can start reverse engineering the process. Well, what do I need if I'm actually going to buy this? Well, I need financing. I need a mortgage lender, probably. I need a real estate agent who can help me buy in those buildings, identify the great units that are available, can tell me about how much it's going to take to rent them out, what the taxes are going to be. I can reverse engineer the process to a place where I now have steps. It's too big a step to say, tomorrow I'm going to go buy a $100,000 rental property. It's too big. That really feels like a dream, right? That feels like light at the end of the tunnel. How far is the tunnel? I don't know. But when you start to break these things down, and it works for anything, right? You break it down into manageable steps, reverse engineering the process. If you know you want to close, well, you need an attorney. If it's going to be a foreclosure and short sale, even in Georgia, you need an attorney, you need an agent, you need a broker, mortgage lender, you need a home inspector, right? Even if it's never been lived in, you need a home inspector. You know you need this dream team. You know you need to start looking online. You know you need to look at your finances. And you know you need to dedicate some part of every week or weekend to going to look at property. Because I doubt it that the first piece of property you see is going to be the one that you say, here's my money. Maybe you're going to specialize in HUD foreclosures and, you know, and HUDHomes.com. And you're going to have to go to HUDHomestore.com and find an agent who actually is HUD certified who can help you buy these things. So your reverse process is going to be, okay, I'm going to go online to HUDHomestore.com and I'm going to look for the agents who have actually closed the deals. And then I'm going to look at what areas of the country, you know, or areas of the metro area they're working in, and I'm going to contact them, and I'm going to tell them what I think I'm looking for, and I'm going to listen to their stories, and I'm going to hire somebody Think of all those little steps, those micro steps, as creating vision, as getting you to the place that you desperately want to be. And you know what? It doesn't seem like that big a deal anymore. Right? Once you have all of those little pieces, you can take a step that's going to be meaningful. And you know, as I always say on the show, if you're stuck, a step in any direction is the right thing. Any direction. It doesn't really matter, because just the movement, just the process of momentum gets you unstuck. And so even if it's a step backwards, it's a step forward. That's how you create vision. I've done it my whole life. Create vision and create the action plan that's going to get you there. The roadmap, the path, and the path can change, and maybe you go down some wrong paths and you go take some wrong turns, but you're going to get back to where you want to be. And that is how you do it. Create vision, get vision. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. If you are not following me, I'm at Glink on Twitter, at GLINK. We put up some new videos at YouTube, which is awesome. I definitely want you to take a look at those. We'll talk more about those in a little minute. They're called the Real Estate Minute, and our YouTube channel is Expert Real Estate Tips. I will tweet that out as well, so follow me on Twitter, at Glink, at GLINK. 18 minutes past the hour, we're going to take some phone calls. Ernie joins us on the line. From coming. Hi, Ernie.
Hi, Elise. How are you?
I'm doing great. A little tired from last night, but great. How about you?
About the same. I just wanted to comment on the real estate market and the your comments about foreclosures. We just closed this past Friday on a short sale that took about 5.5 months.
Wow.
From start to finish, and we moved yesterday.
Congratulations. You have boxes all around you, I'm sure, right?
A few. But just wanted to say that, it was a tough process, but so worth it. Now looking back, there were many times that we said, are we doing the right thing? And even prayed, are we doing the right thing? God, let us know in one way or the other. And there were so many hurdles to go through. But in the end, it was so worth it.
You know, I love that you had the vision for this. Did you start out thinking about a short sale or buying a foreclosure, or did you just kind of, you were going to buy something and it was just the right price?
Well, we were blessed in the fact that our house sold in 8 days.
And goodness, 8 days? That's amazing.
8 days back in April. And then we started looking and found this short sale and just fell in love with the home, the community, and... like I said, there were several times where we thought, is this the right thing, because we had to live with my in-laws. God bless them.
Yeah, but nobody likes to go home again, right?
You have
to ask Thomas Wolfe about that.
Absolutely. But that's just it. We stayed the course, and now just looking back, it was so worth it.
Well, congratulations, Ernie, because when you get to a place and you've actually achieved your vision, I mean, last night, your first night in this new house that you really worked so hard for, and it was certainly in the cards, because once you sold your house in 8 days, then you had to find some place to go. But those kinds of struggles, again, sometimes you take wrong turns, sometimes you run into a wall, you got to backtrack, but if you stick with it step by step, you're going to get where you want to go. So congratulations on getting where you wanted to be, which is in this new house in a great neighborhood. And it's just a great lesson for everybody. Stick to it step by step, and you're going to make it happen. Thanks for sharing this morning. 404-872-0750. Looking for your success stories, for sure. I'm Elise Glink, and you're listening to News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinkglink.com. And find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750. And now, 95.5 FM, News Talk WSB.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Elise Glink Show. Thanks so much for being with us today. Don't forget to check out my website, thinkglink.com, thinkglink.com, and follow me on Twitter. That's where more than half the conversation on the show goes. I'm at Glink, at GLINK. It's time for Real Estate Insight, sponsored by Duffy Realty of Atlanta. Rhonda Duffy back with us. Welcome back.
Thanks.
So distressed sales are accounting for 20-25% of the market right now. And in a place like Georgia, man, there's just distressed property all over the place. Should everybody be a distressed property buyer? Because I know investment real estate, big riches. What do you think?
Everybody thinks they should be a short sell or foreclosure buyer. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, let's just talk about short sales real quick, okay? Short sales require a ready, willing, and able buyer. That's what the lender wants. When we submit a lending package on behalf of the seller to ask a favor of their lender to, you know, get rid of their debt and sell this to this buyer, they're expecting that the buyer has done their due diligence, you know, within a very short period of time. That means that the buyer needs to pay money to have an inspection done at binding between a buyer and a seller. They're expecting that the buyer is willing to purchase as is. So no matter what's found on the inspection, they want you to purchase that. And they want you to be able. So you can't find financing after you get an approval. Ready, willing, and able. Most buyers are not ready, willing, and able, and they don't have the time to wait. It's going to take us 5 to 6 months to get this thing to close. So you can't be already, you know, giving your notice to your apartment complex and then panicked, because it requires patience, and that's how you get a good deal. That's why it's called an investment.
Well, investments in real estate haven't always panned out so well, but I do like the whole
concept
of it. Just quickly, we just have a few seconds left, but why pick a short sale if you're a buyer or an investor versus a foreclosure?
I think the short sale that has been maintained by the homeowner who just got into trouble is more valuable than the foreclosure. But you can read more about this on my blog. I just posted it today, RhondaDuffy.com. You'll find everything that you need to know. And thanks for having me on.
Perfect. Thanks so much, Rhonda. Rhonda Duffy Realty, check her out online. I'm Elise Klink. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more of your questions next here on News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinkglink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
When you put me on the moon. 36 minutes past the hour, News Talk WSB. I'm Elise Glink. Thanks for listening today. Phone number 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. We are taking your calls. There's a couple of lines open. If you've been waiting to call, call now, because you might actually get through. As opposed to everybody who, at the end of the show, always emails me and said, I was holding and I just didn't get through. You could get through right now. We'll take your call. 404-872-0750. I just have to share with you this heartwarming Twitter from a woman named Courtney, and she said, she tweeted, this is why you have to follow me on Twitter, right? She tweeted, so I'm with my dad listening to Act Glink talk about the impetus to move forward toward our goals, to move toward our goals. Life lessons, people, this is how I live. So I'm so charmed, of course, that she's sitting with her dad listening to the show. I mean, that couldn't be better, right, as far as I'm concerned. I've also tweeted out this new Real Estate Minute that we put up on the YouTube channel. Check that out as well. 404-872-0750. Janet joins us on the line from Tucker. Hey, Janet.
Hi there. Thank you for taking my call. Listening to your opening monologue, or whatever you call it, it struck me when you talked, because I've heard you talk about losing your dad when you were young, and I lost my mom when I was 18.
Same age as me.
Yeah, after a little battle with cancer. And the thing is that it changed. The thing I want to remind people about is that, I mean, for me and my family, it was just absolutely devastating to lose her, and my dad never really got over it.
Yeah.
But the thing is that, and it changed my entire life, but you have to understand that even if it's a really, really dark, horrible cloud, there usually is something, if you look for it, there's something that you can take from it as a benefit. And for me, I ended up in a totally different career, but it was just a fabulous career, and it made me a lot more independent.
Tell me a little bit more about that. What were you going to do, did you think, and what did you end up doing?
I was probably going to go into medicine, but my mom died a couple weeks before I was supposed to go away to college. And so I ended up staying at home. I was the last kid at home. So I ended up staying at home and going to community college for 2 years, just because our house, I was, I our hustle was just upside down, and my dad just needed somebody around, I think.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I understand that completely. And so then what happened?
Well, I ended up in a journalism program.
Oh, close to my heart.
And, you know, I've lived all over the country. I've seen amazing things. I worked at USA Today in Washington. I worked here at the Journal Constitution. You know,
it's a different life. Journalism is, people just don't understand. I mean, what it does is it gives you access to the smartest people in the country, and you get to translate that for everybody else.
Well, yeah, and it's not that I'm saying I would have traded a life with my, having my mom alive, but I didn't have that choice. You just kind of got to make the best. I mean, yeah, you got to feel sorry for yourself for a while, but then make the best of what you've got. The guy whose girlfriend got pregnant, that was probably very unexpected.
Yes.
He made something, he still made something of himself. I mean,
And beyond that, what's really interesting about that is it turned out that was his only child.
Oh, yeah.
You just don't know.
You can't wallow in your problems too long. You really do have to look, okay, this is my new set of circumstances. What can I do with it? I mean, I took a buyout from the paper in 2009, and I have developed a lot of new skills since then, and I'm hoping I'm going to grad school starting in January, hopefully for a marketing master's.
Fantastic.
And I'm hoping that will translate into something else that's really cool.
I have to, Janet, I just feel, so you're such a perfect example of what I was talking about, because at every stage of your life, you get to decide how to dream a little bit differently. And now you have a new, bigger dream, but here you are taking concrete steps, small ones. You're going to get there. You took the buyout. You decided what you wanted to do. You've applied to school. You don't know how the end game is going to be. None of us know how the end game is going to be. But you've got this vision for yourself, and I just love that.
And you have to just take, it's kind of like you started out with one recipe, and then your recipe got changed, and you're going to have to make something new with it.
It's what life is all about.
Yeah.
It's what life is all about. Well, I'm not glad, obviously, that your mom died, but I totally understand, and you have made an amazing transition several times in your life, and it sounds like you're going to continue to do it again. And I know everybody listening wishes you, as I do, all the luck, because somebody like you deserves and will make a figure out a way to make it work out. 404-872-0750, 42 minutes past the hour. Rob joins us on the line from Monroe. Hi, Rob.
Hello.
Hey, what's going on today?
I'm good. I'm going to talk to you and then jump on the bike so I can take a ride. It's pretty excellent here in Georgia.
Oh, that sounds good to me, but I have to wait another hour and a half. So what's new in your life? How can I help you today?
What's new in my life? My life is okay. I want to ask a question regarding appreciation that may happen over the next 2 or 3 years. And that is...
You want me to pull out my real estate crystal ball for you?
Based on the information that you gave earlier on your show, by the way, a long-time occasional listener, and I enjoy your program. Based on the information that you had said earlier about, I guess, X-Gens or the 20 to 30-year-old kids who are maybe not really ready to buy a home, but they think they are.
Yep.
Does that indicate in your estimation, or maybe you can give me some advice as to will the small three-bedroom, two-bath type home have a faster appreciation rate once we find ourselves in that? Historically, we will get into an appreciation time again.
So let's pull this out to the 30,000-foot level, because what I think you're doing is asking me, you're saying, I want to be a real estate investor, but I want to buy the right kind of place. So should I buy a three-bedroom, three-bath rather than a two-bedroom, two-bath? Is that kind of where you are?
No, what I'm saying is I do buy three-bedroom, two-baths.
Okay, so you're already doing it. Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah, I have several. But what I want to know is, do you feel like the not the McMansions, but the large four-bedroom or five-bedroom, two-and-a-half to three-and-a-half-bedroom or bathroom home will appreciate even faster than the 3-2s?
It's an interesting question. I think the answer is different all over the country.
Sure.
Because I think that and even within a metro area like Atlanta, which is ridiculously diverse, just like all metro areas are these days, people of different faiths and colors and religious persuasions and just temperament have different size families, and they tend to live in different places. And so what would be the driving force for me? And I think the answer is it's less about size of home and more about school district location of home. If I'm aiming for those 20 and 30 somethings, I want great school districts, because even if you buy, let's say, a three bedroom, three bath in a great school district, and it costs as much as a four bedroom, three bath in a slightly less good school district, there are so many families who will double up kids in order to buy in the better school district, and they will make sacrifice of space renting or buying from you, right, to be able to get into that school district. And that's why, of all the questions or all the characteristics, that seems to be right at the top of the list. Now, that said, hang on, that said, I also really like the idea, and I'm seeing trends that are not abating in this Great Recession, of families who literally can't do it on their own. And so seniors are now moving back in with grown children for that sandwich generation. We have, you know, family members who may be cousins with their families doubling up and living together. And we have kids moving back home who then are sort of in their 20s deciding they're just going to live at home a while they figure out what they want to do till they get a job. And so those four-bedroom, three-bath units, houses, whether, you know, whatever shape they take, are also going to be valuable as longer-term rentals.
Makes sense.
So I feel like you have to think a little bit more carefully about what kind of investor you are, what your investment strategy is, and then marry that to the neighborhood, your neighborhood of choice, and what the housing stock is there. Because I can construct in my head a viable scenario for either of those things.
Right. Okay.
So I'm just thinking, you probably want me to be a little more specific and say buy the three bedroom, three bath, but
No, I don't. What you've done, thank you for your answer. Your answers are very, very well done, verbose. I appreciate that. Most importantly, what you're saying is just totally driven by the locality, and I get it.
I think that's. Are the units that you, or the houses you already own, are they all in the same place?
No, I'm in five counties.
Five counties? What? Just think of the gas you're spending.
I have a property manager. I'm good.
Oh, yeah. Think of the gas the property manager is spending. What you should do, actually, is in those five counties, I don't know how, so you have at least five properties, right? Because five counties?
Yes.
I think what I would do is see what's performing best.
Right.
And I would think about, I would think about maximizing your scope a little bit.
Okay, I'll do that. Question, though, real quick, and it's unrelated to appreciation. It's related now to the public policy of doing bulk sales. That pilot program is now somewhat taken off, and I understand maybe in Florida a bulk sale for around 1,000 units happened.
Mm-hmm. You have to apply to HUD to get, you know, you can't just sort of get in on that. You have to apply. It's either to Fannie.
I'm aware of that. Thank you.
Okay.
Based upon your analysis of how that program was put together and your perceived analysis of how it's going to take off, fly or not fly, do you believe there will be future bulk sales, or is this program going to be something that just was tried and it's not going to work out?
I think there will be future bulk sales. I think they're already going on.
Okay. All right.
So, but I think to get in on that, it's going to require a huge amount of effort, but I think it'll be worth it in the end. The government has a huge interest in sucking up all these foreclosures.
Right.
And the ones that haven't even come on the market yet. The shadow inventory is bigger than we know, and it's hanging out there. And every year that you have another, you know, unemployment at 8% or higher, or 7% or higher, above where it should be, and we're still missing 3 million jobs that were lost 5 years ago.
There's a big void there. You're absolutely right. There's a big void there. So I guess that kind of parlays my next question to you real quick, and I'll get off your horn because I do want to go on my bike and ride.
And I want you to, really.
Yeah,
ask your question.
I'll get off your horn. Last quick question. I certainly appreciate your time and your answers. The last quick question is simply this. Based on those bulk sales that you perceive will happen in the future, and the program will probably be meant to work or forced to work, whatever, is there a possibility, rather than cuts in Section 8, I don't have any Section 8 homes, but in any cuts in Section 8 that we're seeing for the fiscal year 2013 on the federal government, that they'll expand that? Because there's a lot of opportunity for rentals in this case now.
So the answer to your question is it depends who gets elected.
Well said. Okay, thank you.
All right. Enjoy your ride. Seriously, it is really hard for people to understand this, but the philosophies of home ownership are really, really different. And you've got tremendous lobbying pressure going on right now with the National Association of Realtors, the home builders. I mean, these are traditionally the biggest, strongest lobby groups in the country. They spend more money than anybody. The realtors and the home builders. I mean, this is why we still have a mortgage interest deduction, which, by the way, I don't know that it's bad or good. It just is what it is. And they are fighting tooth and nail to make sure that every penny of federal dollars gets pumped back into the housing market, because their perspective is things aren't fixed yet. And I would have to agree with that full out. Things aren't fixed yet. People are still in trouble. There's this imaginary thing that because the stock market is flirting with its all-time highs, that life is good again. But let me be really clear about this. If life were good, there is no way the Fed would have done a QE3, third round quantitative easing, unlimited in scope. Unlimited in scope. It is just going to go on at $85 billion a month, month after month. If we were fine and life was good, never would that be the case. And so the fact that we have all-time lows of mortgage interest rates once again this week and unlimited quantitative easing, life is not normal. The economy is not normal, and the housing market is not normal. And so you have to look for those signposts to understand when life is going to be normal. And from what the way the Fed is talking, 2015 is going to be the earliest. 50 minutes past the hour. I'm Elise Kling. Stay tuned. I'll be right back with more on News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinkglink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
56 minutes past the hour, News Talk WSB. I'm Elise Kling. Thanks for joining us today. Marion joins us on the line from Woodstock. Hey, Marion, how can I help?
Hello, Elise. I have a question about two contracts I have with a teacher annuity company I took out about 20 years ago.
Okay.
And they're coming up for renewal. One is 403B and one is an IRA. I'm currently retired as a teacher, and I get a monthly pension. And I don't foresee I'm going to need these ever,
mm-hmm.
but I may want to at some point. I am wondering, should I just allow them to roll over again for another 10 years or do something else with them?
You know, it depends how much you're getting from them, right? If you're getting a return of investment higher than what you can get in the market, which would be really hard not to get at the moment, frankly, because if they're paying a guaranteed, let's say, 3% or 5%, that's far above what you can get sitting in a bank account, and the stock market is where it is. I mean, it's a long-term investment. If you're already retired, you know, I don't know if you're in your 60s, 70s, 80s, but, you know, you really don't want to put a huge amount of that money into the stock market unless you have the time to really ride out. So what I think you should do, Marion, is you should talk to a fee-only financial planner. Somebody, actually, you pay by the hour. Maybe somebody through the Garrett Planning Network, or maybe one of your, maybe a CPA who has a personal financial specialty. And really look at the whole picture of where your income comes from and where it goes out. But I never think that you should do any investing without intention. And so just to say, should I let it roll over because I don't have any better ideas, doesn't work for me. And it shouldn't work for you. So become an active investor. Pick up the phone, make an appointment, get somebody to look at the whole picture with you and help you understand what's going to be the right choice. Because I don't know enough about your finances to say, let it roll over or not. But I do know enough to say to you, move forward with intentional investing. And that will be the right choice 404-872-0750. I'm Elise Glink, 59 minutes past the hour. I'm going to go tweet, follow me on @Glink, and I'll be right back with more on News Talk WSB.
It's live, experts, money, and real estate advice every Sunday. Elise Glink is on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM, News Talk WSB.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. It is 6 minutes past the hour. This is the Elise Glink Show, where we talk about money, real estate, and how it all matters to your life every single week, in and out. 404-872-0750 is our number here at the station, or I will happily pay the cost of this call. 1-800-WSB-TALK. Actually, I won't, but Pete Spriggs, our boss, will. We are online all the time. If you haven't been to my website yet, thinkglink.com, thinkglink.com. Check out all of the cool videos at our YouTube channel, Expert Real Estate Tips. We have over 320, maybe even 325 videos, including a brand new one that I put up called the Real Estate Minute, which is something new that I think we're going to be doing, hopefully coming to a radio near you very soon. And then, of course, on Twitter, at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. And from Twitter, you're going to find access into the whole ThinkGlink community. I mean, you can get it by signing up for our free weekly newsletter, and I encourage you to do that. But also, Money Watch over at CBS News, what we're doing in Yahoo, and, of course, the Equifax Finance blog, where I'm issuing a big call to all of you to enter our contest. So we have this amazing contest going on where all we want you to do is pick up your video camera or your phone or a flip cam, whatever you have, and just turn it on and tell me how you do what you do with the budget you have. We call it the Family Money Matters Contest. And family, though, people are construing this to mean we only want to hear from, you know, two-parent households with 3.2 kids. It's not true. What we want to hear is from you, single, married, unmarried, adult, partners, kids, no kids, having your grandparents live with you, you're living with your grandparents. We want to understand how you're making it work. Money is tight, and everybody's having such a hard time. I mean, I know the stock market's hitting a new high, and you know, it makes me feel good that my 401k, while still not where it was, is doing a little bit better. And maybe you feel a little bit better, too, and yes, there's a big psychological component to this Great Recession that I think we're all ready to get out of. But what we're trying to do with this Family Money Matters video contest is to share the wealth of information and ideas. I have learned so much from all of you throughout all these years. I've been on the radio here for 15 years, which is really an amazing amount of time now that I just say that. But seriously, 15 years, we've done so many shows on how to save money and how to get the most out of it. There's some memorable, memorable moments where I remember this woman called in and she said, you know, we just decided nobody was going to ever buy a drink at a restaurant. We love eating out, but we're not going to buy a drink. We're not going to buy any drinks. Everybody just drinks water. So no alcohol for the parents, no sodas and lemonade for the kids. And in a year, she had saved $10,000. Simply by going and not ordering drinks. They go and they order meals, but they don't order drinks. What a simple, clever, innovative idea. She didn't want to give up what she really loved, which was eating out and trying new restaurants, but she didn't want to go broke and she wanted to find a way to cut back. So smart. That level of smartness is in every one of you. I know it. Because you call the show week in and week out, year in and year out, and you share these amazing stories and tips. And all I'm asking you to do now is turn on your phone and in a minute just tell me what you do that makes your budget work, that keeps you going week in, week out, till the next paycheck, whenever that comes. How do you do it? And entering is so darn easy, right? Just upload it to Vimeo, you know, YouTube, wherever you want to upload this video. And go to Equifax.com, click on the finance blog, or I will tweet out the information. And it'll take you to a page, and all you do is put in your name and your email address and the link to the video. And I don't ever see that, so it's all private. It goes through some sort of, I don't know what it goes through, but anyway, I don't ever see it. What we see in our shop is your video. And then we're going to start posting this week some sample videos at the Equifax Finance blog so you can see other people who are starting to do this. And understand, this is not about performance. This isn't about how great you are in front of a camera or what kind of lighting you have. You know, if we wanted that, we would just go to Hollywood. We don't care about that. What I care about are the ideas and sharing those ideas across the board so that everybody feels better about their money. So there's a little bit extra in the kitty at the end of the month, or maybe this time it's just going to stretch all the way to the end. That's what we're interested in. So go to the Equifax Finance blog, sign up, make your video, and the best part of all is that we have an opportunity for the winners. There's prizes, right? So there's a $1,000 Discover gift card, fully loaded. We're going to send it to you. Go and spend it any way you want, on anything you want, anywhere in the world that takes Discover. You get a Discover gift card, grand prize of $1,000. Everybody else who's a finalist is going to get a free credit monitoring program from Equifax, so you can check your credit. You can manage your money a little bit better, more easily. It's a great value. I should know how much that's worth. I don't. But anyway, all the rules are up at the Equifax Finance blog, blog.equifax.com. I will make a point of tweeting it out a little bit later in the show. But right at the top, it says enter our video contest on YouTube. But you can do it on Vimeo as well. We just want to hear your ideas. All right, 404-872-0750 is our number here at the station. Linda joins us on the line. So, Linda, you're moving. Linda, I hear somebody over there. I don't know where Linda is. We'll put you back on hold. Maybe you're going to come back to the phone. 13 minutes past the hour. Let's try Betsy. Betsy, you with us?
I am.
Wonderful. What's going on in your world today?
Hi, Elise. First, I just want to thank you for taking my call and giving such reasonable, sensible information for people.
You are more than welcome.
What's going on in my world is I am trying to help my mother, who is 70 years old and about 9 months ago, unfortunately, lost her husband.
Oh. Is this your stepfather or your father?
My stepfather.
Okay.
Yeah, just almost to their 30th year anniversary. So.
Oh. So he's been a big part of your life, too, so my condolences to you on that.
Thank you. I appreciate that. She did receive some life insurance, just a small amount of life insurance, through a policy that he had.
Mm-hmm.
And she's in a place where she does need to move, although she's not under a time wire of needing to move, but wants to move and needs to move.
Why does she need to move?
Well, basically, the house where she is just way too large for herself.
Okay.
It's out in the country. She's just feeling the need for being more of an in-town location.
It's smart, right? You want to be in a place where if you need help, you can get it, where you have easier access to things. And who needs a house that's more of a house than you need, right?
Yeah, and it's got a huge amount of yard maintenance to it that my
So your 70-year-old mom is out there with the push mower, right? I can just see that.
That is not my mom.
Right. It's not my mom either, which is why she lives on the 35th floor of a condo. But anyway.
Well, she's trying to figure out the best way to handle the life insurance money that was, you know, again, it's a small amount, but...
Is she renting the place she's in?
She's actually renting it from a family trust.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Which family? Your family?
Her family, yes.
Okay.
Her brothers and sisters have it's a farm that they have in a family trust.
Okay.
And so she's renting it from them, and so that's why there's
no pressure to move. Got it.
Right, but she wants to move just to make it easier on her own lifestyle.
Okay.
Which my brother and I are all for. We want her to be in a place that she's more comfortable with, and we're more comfortable having her there. But she also wants to see, she's trying to make sure that she makes the most sensible decision with that money. And her long-term goal would be for my brother and I to have some type of inheritance from that. She's tried to, she's looked at a couple houses to buy. She's gotten a little frustrated just because nothing is exactly the way she wants it. But the question is, and she decides, well, do I go back to renting for two different reasons? One, if she would need to go into a medical facility, nursing facility at some point under Medicare, she doesn't want the house to be deemed an asset, and is that going to bother her?
So it's not Medicare, which is available to everybody over 65.
It's Medicaid. Right.
I just get nailed on that all the time because I misspeak, but it's Medicaid. So just for everybody listening, don't email me. We know.
So that's in the back of her mind, although she's in fairly good health right now, but she does look out for the, you know, all the what ifs.
So there are a couple of interesting things. So, you know, this idea, so I have some very strong feelings about the idea that parents want to preserve inheritance and not use it for what they should use it for, which is their own good health, right?
Right.
Because the money you have is for the rainy day. And in your mother's situation, it's for taking care of her as she ages. And if she needs the care, I don't want her to not get care she needs because she's saving the money for you and your brother. Which
is
admirable, but and maybe you guys need the money, but I think there's better ways to slice it. And plus, you know, what she forgets is that, you know, Medicaid is a publicly funded thing. It's for people who really are at the poverty line. And she may have other assets anyway that would exclude her from that, or she'd have to spend those down first. And, you know, there's a lot that goes into that decision. But if she wants to buy a house and put it in a trust and name you guys as the beneficiary, right, that's one thing she can do that would, help take those assets sort of off the table for her.
Okay.
She can also buy a house that you and your brother buy into with her.
That's what we were wondering. I was wondering about if she basically buys the house, puts the title in my name, my brother's name.
Well, that's a gift. You don't want it to be a gift.
You don't want it to be a gift.
This is one of the big mistakes seniors make all the time. They give you a house as a gift. So she buys a house for $100,000. She's just given you a $100,000 gift. So it could have tax implications. Maybe it doesn't have tax implications. But when you go to sell that house, you will then sell it at the price that, you know, the cost basis that she gave it to you at. So you'll sell it starting at $100,000, or rather, you get it, it's a gift. So it's like, it's just not a good idea. I'm not explaining it well because I was up really late at my 30th reunion. But the point is that you need to have a real conversation with your mom. If it's not a big amount of money, spending that money down is really the right thing for her to do. But if she wants to buy a house because she thinks that this is a good value, that it's going to increase in value, she wants to put it in a trust, there are ways to do what she wants to do. So what I'm going to encourage you to do is find a good estate attorney.
Okay.
And what you need to do with this estate attorney is to just go through the whole thing with your mom. And there's things that probably need to happen anyway. If she doesn't have a will, she needs one. If she doesn't have powers of attorney for health care and financial matters, she needs those too. And she needs you and your brother to be named on those and to distribute those. She probably needs a living will. So there's a basic set of documents that she needs.
True.
And in those conversations, you'll figure out what to do once you're getting those documents in order, what she really needs to do with the inheritance and how she really wants to live. I actually think she may not want to own a house because it isn't really just about preserving this wealth. It's really about, oh my gosh, now I still have a yard and I still have a house that needs maintenance and repair and upkeep, and is my budget big enough for that? Because, you know, seniors forget it. They forget that it's like the house and now you've got taxes and insurance and a mortgage payment and blah, 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 blah.
Right.
And it's very overwhelming, and it's probably more than she wants or needs. So you have to really sit and evaluate where she's going, and as her child, who obviously cares enough to call, which is great, you and your brother and your mom need to sit down and have this kind of meeting of the minds where she lets go of the money issue so that you can really talk about what's going to be best for her. You can look at other places for her to live. You can talk to the estate attorney and get all the rest of the estate in order. And then you get the peace of mind that comes from knowing she's set.
Yeah.
That's what you really want.
Right. Right. And she's worried about us, and between me and my brother, we don't need the inheritance. We really want to do what's best for her and make her comfortable. And
right. And that's what you need to explain to her.
Where neither one of us are, I'm way out of state. My brother's a couple hours away. So we just want to make sure that she's in a place where we're comfortable that, she can live comfortably and not have to worry about, you know, a lot of the things that go along with the big house that she's in right now.
I totally get it. And it's really about not, you don't want to lose, and maybe this is the way to frame it for her, Mom, I don't want to lose sleep at night worrying that you're not in the right place for the next 10, 20 years of your life.
Perfect, right? Yeah.
That's how you got to frame this conversation. And I know it's so hard for adult children to have this kind of conversation, but I think that's going to be the way to do it. And you and your brother should both go where she is in the house. You should spend the weekend, find the estate attorney the following Monday, the previous Friday, go to see the estate attorney, get this going, and get it done. Because one thing you don't know is how long you have. And the window is open right now.
Yep.
She's opened it to have this important, life-important conversation. You need to walk through it with your brother. And I'm so glad you called me today, because I can tell this is going to happen soon, end of the year, and you will all three feel so much better. And that's really what this is all about. 404-872-0750. I'm Elise Kling. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a moment with the prize pack on News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinkglink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
Back in the atmosphere, the drops of Jupiter in her head.
27 minutes past the hour on the Elise Kling Show. Time for our WSB McDonald's Weekend Prize Pack. This is awesome, folks. It's a prize value of $568. And it includes, and I have to say this may be the first time in all this time that I've done this, it includes a pair of tickets to see The Price is Right live on October 3rd at the Fox Theater, a maintenance agreement for two complete HVAC tune-ups, courtesy of Shumate Air Conditioning and Heating, a pair of tickets to the Gas South Broadway Series presentation of Chicago. What a great musical that is. October 4th to the 7th at the Cobb Energy Center. And a synthetic oil change courtesy of Braxton Automotive. Honestly, The Price is Right live, what could be better? Value $568. We are going to give it to the fifth caller, 404-741-0750. I'm Elise Kling. Stay tuned. We'll tell you who wins, and we'll come back with more answers to your questions next on News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinkglink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
35 minutes past the hour on the Elise Kling Show. Congratulations to Eileen from Sandy Springs, who won the prize pack. Nicely done. 404-872-0750 is our number, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Don't forget to do the Equifax Finance Blogs video contest. We want to hear your great stories about how you're saving money and managing to make it all work out. So just go to blog.equifax.com. I tweeted out the information. Follow me on Twitter. If you're not, you're seriously missing great opportunities. At Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. You can also sign up for my free weekly newsletter at thinklink.com. We've got videos. We've got all kinds of cool stuff going on in the ThinkLink community. Don't miss out. Sign up today. 404-872-0750 is our number. Let's go back to the phone. I think we have Linda on the line from Gainesville. Linda, you moving to Denver?
Yes, I'm here, and I apologize that I was not here a few minutes ago. I'm working at the fair today.
Wow.
In Gwinnett. I am a big fan, Elise, and I cannot wait to get your answer to this question.
Well, I hope I have a good one for you. What's your question?
Well, I'm working for the government, for CDC in Atlanta, and I'm going to be moving to Denver, Colorado to be with my children.
Nice.
So I am working on that. I'm going to sell my house right away because I have another place to live until I land the job.
So you're moving because you want to be with your grown children even though you don't have a job.
Well, I work for the government, and I have opportunity to transfer to CDC in Fort Collins.
Oh, that is really a nice thing.
So, you know,
kind of solved that problem. Okay.
Well, you know, it may happen very quickly, or it may not happen for a long time, or it may not happen. There are other federal agencies there that I can apply to, so that's my goal. There is an opportunity even for me to retire and go there, but I prefer to have a job for a few more years. I want to sell my house in Gainesville, and I wonder what is the best way to sell my house the quickest at the best price without having to pay a lot of money to have it sold. Do I need to list it with forsalebyowner.com or with Duffy? I think they have a great deal. Or just list it with a local real estate company that we have in Gainesville.
All right, so let's take a step back a moment. You want to sell the house for the minimum amount of commission. Are you underwater with this house?
No, I'm not. I owe about $75,000 on the house.
Mm-hmm.
And the house next door to me was appraised at $155,000 around 2004 or 5. So we know it's lost some equity. I don't know how much would be. Another question is, should I get my own appraisal done rather than... I have the bank do it.
All right, let's start at the beginning. You don't know, Linda, whether the house is underwater or not. You don't know, because whatever was appraised for in 2004 was at the height of the housing bubble, and you have no idea what that has gone down. So many communities in the greater Atlanta area, and also just in Georgia, have fallen 50, 60, even 70% in value. So the first thing I'm hoping that's not the case for you, but you can't go to the bank with anything that happened in 2004, 2005. It's way out of date.
Right, and that is my question. Should I just go ahead, off and get it appraised?
No, let me finish. The first thing you have to do is understand what foreclosures look like in your area, how many there have been, what they've sold for. So what you need to do is talk to a bunch of real estate agents who work your community. And I'm sure you know who it is because they've got the signs all over the place, and you need to call them in and have a conversation and have them do a comparative marketing analysis. You can ask Rhonda Duffy as well. She's a different kind of agent. She's a discount broker. There are all kinds of things that you can do, but you need to have some professional opinions, not pay for an appraisal, which I think is a complete waste of money at this point for you. I'm saving you $400 and you haven't even done anything yet.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. But you have to understand what the nature of the community is in terms of foreclosures and price points. And what I'm hoping is that, it seems like there was a lot of room to fall and you'd still be in the black, and I'm hoping that you're going to find that home prices are now going for about $95,000 to $100,000. That would be what I consider to be a best case scenario, because it's very hard to imagine in Gainesville a community where all the properties have retained the value that they were at in 2004. I don't think that exists. So you just have to find out how far it's fallen, because the next thing that happens is going to dictate. If for some reason all the properties around you are now worth $60,000, you're going to have a different conversation about getting rid of that property than if they're at $95,000 or $100,000. So let's assume they're in the black, right? You have to decide how to get rid of the house. Now, we had somebody who called in earlier, I think it was Ernie, who told me that, first call of the day, told me his house sold in 8 days. In April.
I heard that, yeah.
8 days in April. Oh, my goodness. I was so excited for him, right? You have to figure out, the next question is, after how much is my house really worth, is how fast are they selling? And if you want to get rid of your property, we are moving into a really good time of year for that, because even though traffic is down, sort of the holiday Christmas season, which is where we're going, the serious buyers are out. And so listing your house for sale now rather than waiting till January could be the best move that you make, because you've got more exposure at a serious time to serious buyers. So I like that all the way. What I'm trying to get at, if you step back to the 30,000-foot level, is what I talked about at the very beginning of the show. Have a plan. Sounds like you're forming a plan. Reverse engineer it with all the steps that you need to take to get you to the finish point. And that's figuring out what the value is, hiring the right kind of agent, understanding, you know, whether you want to try a for sale by owner, which I would almost not recommend right now. I mean, you could always try it, but 3 weeks with no offers, just get rid of it. And then you have to decide if you want somebody who's a discount broker like a Rhonda Duffy, or you feel like you need a full service brokerage firm. You should interview 4 or 5 different firms, and you want the ones who have buyers who want to buy in your area.
Right.
Because that's really what you're marketing to. So all of those are the steps that you need to take to figure out who you hire and how much you pay. But I'm telling you, if the properties in your neighborhood are selling for $75,000 and you owe $75,000, you're going to be in the hole $10,000 or $15,000 when you sell.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to have to either go get a short sale or you're just going to have to come up with the cash. And that's going to mean a whole different level of conversation.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Well, right, exactly. Fortunately, I'm in a lake community in Gainesville with houses that are far, 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 far above my home. It's a very small circle of homes. The ones on the lake are half a million and more, or over a million. And then I have a few little houses, or four little houses in a row like mine that were built that, you know, probably you would assume 5 years ago that they would be selling for around $140,000. So I guess it's comparable to that same type of house in the area, but I'm hoping that the location on the lake and being 2 minutes from the marina will make a difference.
I hope so, but I have to tell you, a lot of lake communities have been destroyed. So people bought those houses with nothing down, couldn't afford them. The $1 million houses or the $500,000 houses are now worth $200,000, and all the other houses that were worth $150,000 are now worth $60,000. So I don't know if that's your community, but I've actually seen this happen in other lake communities around the area. So don't assume anything. Just go find out. It's a lot easier to do the homework and find out. And then the answer will be revealed to you. And then you'll know whether you have to do a short sale or whether you're going to be fine. You're in the black. You can hire whatever kind of, you know, person you want to hire. But it seems to me that the one thing you won't have is a huge amount of cash coming out of this. Because even if the property is now worth $100,000, after cost of sale and transfer fees and your moving fees and all the rest, you might walk away with $10,000 or $15,000, which is good money. Don't get me wrong. That is, I would never turn down $15,000, and neither would you. But you're not going to retire on that. So you're going to have to look at the larger picture of your personal finances and figure out what is going to make the difference for you and how you can get the deal done. And I wouldn't sweat over $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 because it's not enough to sweat over. It's really about how this fits into your bigger plan, which is getting to Colorado to be with your babies. 404-872-0750 is our number here at the station. It's 45 minutes past the hour. Mickey joins us on the line. Hi, Mickey.
Hey, Elise. How are you today?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Doing fine. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
My question today is, about 2 years ago, I started doing real estate investment.
Mm-hmm. Great
and
timing.
What we do is buy foreclosed properties, fix them up, and resell them. It's been going great.
How many have you purchased in the last 2 years?
Well, last year alone, we did 10.
Wow, fantastic.
But this year, we can't find anything to buy. It's just, we can't find the properties, and the ones that we do find are so overpriced, they're so close to rehab value.
There's no room.
There's just no room to do anything. Well, it scares me. And I didn't know if you had any insight.
Well,
gotten some information, but I don't know what to believe.
Well, so let's back up a step. Tell me a little bit about what your model was. What kind of properties were you looking for? What kind of a discount? And how did you know when you found the right one?
Well, we have two real estate agents that work in our area, which is Cobb County, Cherokee County,
mm-hmm.
who are just fantastic. I mean, they save our lives.
So let me just say that my number one person on the dream team is a great real estate agent. They prove their value every single day.
We couldn't do it without them. Absolutely couldn't do it without them. They are wonderful. And so they assist us in determining the after repair value. And we can usually figure out everything else on our own, what it's going to take to put it in top shape. And we try to go all the way and make sure that these houses are as close to brand new condition as they can be.
So what were you buying them at, and how much did you spend to fix them up, and what were you selling them at?
Well, generally speaking, our after repair price point was usually right in the middle 100s. We've done them for as low as $108,000 and as high as $200,000. So I like to stay right in the middle 100 range.
Okay.
Generally speaking, we like to purchase them, be able to purchase them and repair them for about 60 to 65% of the after-repaired value. So it doesn't bother me to buy a house cheap that needs a ton of repair, or to buy one that's more expensive that doesn't need quite as much, just so long as I stay within that 60 or 65% parameter.
Okay. And so now the problem is that everybody else has caught on that there's easy money to be made, or they think it's easy money to be made, and they're driving up the price points because, of course, interest rates are really low, and there aren't as many foreclosures that have come on the market in Atlanta. There's like this holding pattern, so they've been, all these buyers are now sopping up the inventory, and that, of course, is pushing up the price.
That's what we've noticed, and we don't know if there's more people doing it or if it's what you just said and that the banks seem to be holding on to the properties.
And
that's what
both.
I'm trying to get my arms around is, are they holding on to them, and how long do you think they're going to continue to do this?
Well, I think they are holding on to some of them, and I think they are hoping that the inventory will get sopped up. And I think there's more to come. Remember, banks can only hold on to these properties for 5 years.
I see.
And then they have to sell them.
Okay.
So the real question is, because it's not like the job situation has gotten great in Atlanta. It's really about interest rates being at all-time lows and people not having anywhere else to invest the money. And so when the Fed, you know, does the mortgage-backed securities and they push the interest rates really low, they're trying to push you in certain direct, you meaning, you know, everybody in the universe, right? They're trying to push us, you, in a certain investment area. Now, what else is going on is the rest of the world looks like a lousy place to invest your money. And so money is pouring into the United States in real estate, which looks like it's about half as much as, you know, it's been on sale, right, a third to a half off. And they're buying it there because there really isn't, you know, stock market is sort of up and down, but that's now at an all-time high. And so where are you going to put your money? People are turning to real estate. And so the amount of interest is up. But if you look at it, the amount of interest compared to where it was at the height of the housing market, it's actually still below. It's still not where the height of the market is. So I think what's happening is properties are not going on the market as quickly. Sellers are anxious and they want to wait until they see property prices start to move up. And you're telling me property prices are moving up. That super, super, super low price point is gone, or it's going. And if your great agents can't find it, you're either going to have to change your model, or you're going to have to change locations, or do something else, because right now what you want doesn't exist. And I hope it comes back. I think it is there in a lot of other places, but where you're looking, not so much right now. 404-872-0750. It is 50 minutes past the hour. We'll be back in a moment with the Elyse Glink Show here on News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinkglink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Elyse Glink Show. Live on Sundays, 12 to 2 here for football season. 404-872-0750 is our number. Don't forget to join me on Twitter at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. May joins us on the line from Tucker. Hey, May.
Hey.
What's going on today?
Well, I'm shopping for a mortgage, and I'd like to know what kind of interest should I be looking for.
Well, you mean what the interest rate is? Is this
yes.
a refi? Is this a purchase? What is this?
It's a new purchase.
A new purchase?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And do you qualify for a mortgage? Have you been to visit with the lenders yet?
I hope so. I did call mortgage company, and I was told that I just quickly gave him everything I have, and he seems to say I should qualify for one.
Okay. Your first problem is you've only called one.
Yes.
Yeah. You need to have like three or four other conversations with different kinds of lenders. And I mean a credit union, a big, huge national lender. You should look online at abankrate.com and see what kinds of interest rates are going there. Do you know what your credit history is?
In 2010, I have an over 30-day late, but then I pull all my credit reports, and it seems like that's the only problem. My FICO score is 784.
Okay, well, 784 is excellent, and you're in the top tier. So if you get a 30-year fixed-rate loan, it should be somewhere in the 3.5% range, which is unbelievable. Or if you go with a 15-year, and I don't know, you know, what you're going to be able to afford, it could be even lower than that. It could be below 3%. You might even get 3.25% these days on a 30-year fixed. These are amazing long-term interest rates, but you're not going to know whether the deal is good or not until you shop around. And so you really need to go and talk to any number, seriously, 5-6 lenders. It's not that much homework when you're thinking about the single biggest purchase of your life. You need to be able to understand that the deal you're getting is a great deal. And so call around to these lenders this week. Start talking to them. You've got your FICO score. It's great. As long as everything else looks pretty good and you don't have any quirky things going on like you're self-employed, you should be able to get an absolutely terrific loan. All right, everybody, the music's starting. That means our time is up. It is 58 minutes past the hour. Stay tuned. There's a whole great afternoon of programming here on News Talk WSB. Don't forget to sign up for the Equifax Finance Blog Family Money Video Contest. We want to hear from you, your great ideas about saving money and making it all work out. And while you're there, check out all the great content all over the Equifax Finance blog. Follow me at Glink. Sign up for the free weekly newsletter. You will not be sorry. All right. Have a great weekend, everybody. Go out and enjoy the sunshine, and I'll talk to you again next Sunday. Take care.